Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron, and just wanted to review a play that happened in a very exciting New England and Pittsburgh game today. As we can see here, Roethlisberger completes a pass to James, and James is going to the ground as he reaches the goal line. And that's the key here. He is going to the ground. By rule, to complete the process of the catch, he must survive the ground. And by that, we mean he must maintain control of the football. As we see here, he does put the ball over the goal line extended. Once he gets there, he loses control of the football, and then the ball hits the ground. We can see here the ball touches the ground. So therefore, two things occur. He loses control of the football, and the ball touches the ground prior to him regaining control. Therefore, the ruling on the field of a touchdown was changed to an incomplete pass.
Oh, it's going to be one of my favorite things from NFL 2017, the NFL explaining why a pass was an incompletion. And in their first sentence of that explanation, they say, as you can see, Roethlisberger completes the pass to James. Oh, boy, let's talk with our coach. He's our life coach. He is the one that gives us direction and focus here. Coach Herm Edwards joins us as he does every Monday morning. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Well, this goes all the way back for me, and I say it all the time when we get in this discussion about what's a catch, what is not a catch. It's the Burt Emanuel play in the championship game where we were with Tampa playing the Rams. So I still don't know what a catch is. I figured out, but the more I watch it, I just chuckle. You know, it just chuckle. I mean, that one was one like you go, okay, I get it, and then I don't get it, and then I look at the situation in Carolina where everyone on his offense is telling Ron, don't challenge it, man. Don't challenge it. And they thought the guy was out of bounds, but I guess one side of your behind is in, and I you know, so it's great because it's your lines will be lit up all day today about the, we're not going to talk about, just think about that. There were some really good games. We're not going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about those two incidents all day.
And we're going to talk about, you know, measuring a first down with an index card folded in
half.
That's
great. How good was that one? How good was that one? Yeah. And you know what? If you don't fold it over, maybe it's not a first down.
Why was it? That's what I said to Jake. Why was the index card folded?
I don't
know. Is that in the rule book?
Oh, man. This is the greatest sport alive. We got index cards trying to figure out the first down, not a first down. What's a catch? I love it. I love it.
Well, the margins in this league, Coach, are insanely close. I mean, that's one thing it tells you.
No, you're right. And we always say, you know, you see how difficult it is to make a yard in this league. It's unbelievable.
Well, the good news is the Chiefs didn't have to depend on any nebulous catch rulings or first downs. They won the game going away.
Yeah, last 2 weeks now, they've really done a nice job. They looked like the Chiefs earlier in the season. You know, early was a tight game, but then they found a way. I mean, I don't know why you play single safety high and not lean the safety over to where Hill's at. You know, it just – because, you know, beside those little bubble screens he's going to catch, eventually he's going to go deep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they made explosive plays again. The defense took the ball away. They ran the ball. All their stars on offense showed up defensively. You know, the takeaways are they've been their calling card in the past. And so two games in a row now, they've looked like the Chiefs. And that's good going into this playoff run. They're going to win the division. And so now it's just a matter of how many they can win and who do they go play.
So, Coach, I thought that that you, of all people, would love the fact that, to me, we can spend a lot of time, and we will, talking about the skill position players, and you just touched on a couple of them. But the Chiefs won this game at the point of attack on the defensive and offensive lines.
Yep.
And they've done that two games in a row now where that was missing in the middle part of the season. How is it that they flipped the switch, and all of a sudden they're winning the line of scrimmage?
Well, they probably simplified some things. I know it looks like that in a run game. For sure. And I think defensively, and we talked about it, you know, last week, we talked about this game, and I mentioned, you know, Jones inside with need to be a factor on Philip Rivers, and that seemed to be the case, you know, because Philip is a guy that wants to sit in the pocket and throw the football. So I think, you know, all those factors came to fruition for him. You got your run game going defensively. You control the line of scrimmage. You know, these guys have a good offense. And, you know, those things, when they take place, all the skill guys seem to shine because of either protection offensively, being able to run the ball defensively, putting pressure on the quarterback, the turnovers occur. So offensive, defensive linemen at the end, when you play well up front, generally that's going to help you win games.
All right, Coach, we got to talk about Marcus Peters. comes off suspension.
Yeah.
They throw at him 6 times in the game, 0 completions, 2 interceptions, and a forced fumble.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of different thoughts about Marcus Peters, as you're well aware. Did the suspension affect the way Marcus Peters played, in your opinion?
I don't know that. I mean, he's a good player. He's a Pro Bowl player. I think hopefully it calmed his emotions. I mean, he's an emotional player. We see that every week. And sometimes his emotions get the best of him. And when they run, when the cup runneth over with emotion, he hurts the team with either some egregious penalties or his actions during the course of the game. And you're hoping that, you know, he continues to play the way he's playing and have his emotion, but not let it run over. And I just think, you know, he's a talented guy. Everybody knows that. And proven this week against Philip Rivers, this offense was rolling. Keenan Allen has been rolling. And for the most part, not a lot of explosive plays. And as you said, you know, they threw it at him. No completions, got 2 big interceptions and caused a fumble. I mean, he's probably the defensive player of the week.
Well, and if there was one area where I saw his attitude different, it was on what could have been another interception that
right.
He and Daniel Sorensen kind of collided on. And I almost thought you could see the wheels turning. At first, Marcus Peters almost got mad, like, darn it, that was my interception, you know?
Right.
But instead of getting mad or showing his teammate up, they both, like, shook hands and patted each other on the back of the head as like, hey, man, we're trying to do the same thing here. We're on the same page. I'm curious what the response is, and you've been in the locker room, his teammates, now that they have him back. And
well, I mean,
you know,
they're excited about having one of their best defensive players back. There's no doubt about that. And I think hopefully he can grow on that. You know, now we'll see. It's one game after being suspended. You know, and hopefully this is – look, the guy's going to play with emotion. We know it. Every once in a while he's going to have an emotional outburst. But it can't be one of those deals where it lingers, where it becomes the center of attention, because that's the problem. You know, then it becomes all about him, and it's really about the team. And there's a lot of emotional players that play in our league, and they're fantastic players. But once you become the distraction, and I've always said this, you know, once a play's over or you're on the sideline and all of a sudden the camera's on you, and it's not on the players that are playing, that's never good. That's never good. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's about the game of football. And all that other stuff is a part of it. But when it becomes the vocal point of the television cameras following you around, rather than watching all those 11, those 22 players on the field play, that's not good.
Coach, what would you say if I told you that we're going into week 16 and the top-rated passer in the NFL is Alex Smith?
Well, look, I'm not going to be surprised. Look, early in the season, Alex Smith was talked about having an MVP season. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Did we forget about that? You know, and then all of a sudden they hit this skid, and, you know, that went by the wayside, and it was, oh, guess what? How about let's play the rookie? Remember? I mean, It wasn't but about maybe 5 weeks ago, this was the topic. And Andy, to his credit, understood that, you know what, we're in a little bit of rough water right now. I'm not going to panic. Now, what he did, I think Andy turned over the play calling. And, you know, and sometimes as a head coach, you realize maybe I'm too much immersed in this, and maybe I need to just back off of it. And now Andy's an excellent play caller, excellent football coach. But sometimes that little change sometimes helps you, and obviously it has, it looks like to me.
What would you say if I told you that Kareem Hunt is only 21 yards behind Le'Veon Bell as the leading rusher in the NFL in his rookie season?
Would not be surprised because of the start he had, and everyone thought he was going to break rushing records. And then all of a sudden that stopped. But he did enough in those first 5 weeks that, look, he was a dynamic player. And I think the last couple weeks, it looks like he's found his way again. This whole offense looks like the beginning of the season, right? They hit a lull. And we know mm-hmm. it. We all sat here and talked about it. That's what we were asking, what happened to the Chiefs offensively and defensively? And to their credit, to the coach's credit, to the players, they hung in there. They didn't listen to the voices outside the building. They just kept going, and they knew that they would find their way back. And we went into the season saying they should win the division. We said that. We said early, the way they're playing, they might have home field advantage through the playoffs. Well, unless something catastrophic happens to Pittsburgh and New England, that's not going to be the case. But they're going to win the division.
Well, they've got to win one of their last two games, or they've got to have the Chargers, I think, lose one of their last two games. So the Chiefs have it in their own hands at home on Christmas Eve against the Miami Dolphins. Now,
yes. We
saw the Dolphins get a big win a couple of weeks ago, but then we saw them, you know, they just got beat at Buffalo this weekend. They're 6-8. The Chiefs are an early 10-point favorite in this game. Tell me about what it's going to take for the Chiefs to beat the Dolphins, because they'd love to take care of this now and then go into that last game with nothing on the line against the Broncos.
Look, the Chiefs have to play like they played the last 2 weeks. That's who they are. I mean, that's what we watched early in the season, and they're back to doing that. I just think that they know where they're at now. They're back. And I think if you're a player in that locker room, you realize, okay, we're in the playoffs. Now, let's play like a playoff team, because now you're getting ready for the playoff push. It'll be interesting, too, if they win this game, how Andy handles it, you know, the last week. Because, you know, I don't know if their seeding is going to change a whole lot if the other teams win. So it'll be kind of interesting how he plays the guys and, you know, what how he looks at it as far as getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know what the tiebreaker situation would be.
Yeah, I don't even try to figure that out. You know, there's 100 scenarios.
Well, the only division leader they could catch would be Jacksonville. They could tie them, theoretically, if Jacksonville lost their last two games.
Too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. So, I mean, most likely, the Chiefs are going to win the West, but they're going to be the lowest seed of the division
right. Winners.
And so they're not going to have anything to – if they take care of business against the Dolphins, they're not going to have really anything to play for against – the Broncos on the last game of the season. So, your opinion, the Chiefs, you believe they will take care of business against the Dolphins this weekend?
Yeah. They're playing at home, too. I mean, they look like, you know, the Dolphins always play New England good for some reason in New England. I mean, and in Miami, going into that last time they played them this year, they had won 3 out of 4. And that didn't surprise me that, you know, New England. Now, what surprised us all was the play of Tom Brady. Captain America, you know, he struggled on third down, and after that game, here comes the rumors again. You know, that's it. Father Time caught up with him. Did you watch him yesterday?
Yep.
Looked like Captain America to me again. Be careful when you start writing that guy off.
And Coach, look, I know it's easy to sit here and criticize. How do you leave Gronkowski open? Three plays in a row on the last drive of the game like that, though, if you're the Steelers.
They were in a fire zone, and the guy that was supposed to be inside of him to carry him with the seam got his eyes in the backfield on the play fake and didn't carry him down the seam. Now, whether Gronk jumps up over and catches the linebacker or the seam player is one thing, but, you know, he had bad eyes. I say sometimes players play with dirty eyes. His eyes were dirty. He was looking at the wrong thing. You got to carry the same and make it a harder throw with a safety and kind of help him over the top. But, hey, this is who they are. You know, it's the great quarterbacks, and we saw two great quarterbacks yesterday. take the ball in the waning minutes and go right down the field. Mm-hmm. Captain America, you knew when he had the ball, you went, okay, this is why he's Captain America. This is why he holds up the trophy every other year. You know, this is Big Ben. He's got the ball. And it was, I mean, the last 3 minutes, you know, like there were touchdowns were being scored, and you were going, this is really good football.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really good football. I mean, it was compelling football. It's like two great quarterbacks going at it, and it was, like, fun to watch.
It really was. And controversy, everything. You know, great plays, bad plays.
Yeah.
Most people think that we're going to see that rematch in the AFC Championship game. We're hoping the Chiefs can spoil that party a little bit, but we'll have to wait and see. Coach, one other thing I wanted to ask you about before we let you go, I think this is an enormous story in the NFL, and that is the story with Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson.
Yeah.
He says he's going to sell the team now, but Sports Illustrated came out with this expose that they've had to settle all sorts of lawsuits with former employees about inappropriate workplace behavior. Look, this is sweeping the country in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But for me, you've had the mind of a head coach and of a player. This league comes down insanely harsh on its own players for things that aren't even proven, right? Like Zeke Elliott thing and all that. Doesn't the league have to do something serious about this situation with Jerry Richardson if they want to? Because I think there's so much animosity between the players and the owners right now. If they want to have any sort of good faith going into the next CBA, don't they have to do something serious to show that they'll treat the owners the same way they'll treat the players?
Well, obviously, and you're talking about leadership. You're talking about one of the privileged people that own the team in the National Football League. There's only 32 of them. And you know, your conduct is critical. I mean, this is the National Football League. This is the best of the best, whether it's players, coaches, owners, whoever it may be. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because as he sells the team, what will be the repercussions of this? No one knows. Everyone's trying to figure that out. I'm pretty sure that ownership is huddled up and there has to be something done. I mean, no doubt. Now, what that is, who knows? And everyone will have an opinion about what should be done. But I think the league understands this, you know, and you mentioned it. It's bigger than the National Football League. This is an occurring event, it seems, in our society now, you know, the work environment. And I will say this, I'm glad that all of a sudden people are speaking out on this matter, because going forward, this cannot continue the way it's continued and been kind of swept under the rug, and not just in football, it's just, we see it everywhere now. Mm-hmm. It's common practice, it seems like, it's been going on. And I think the more we bring it out and talk about it, it's good, because we need to do things that are right. And we can't turn a blind eye to things that we know that have been going on. And it's kind of, well, that's the way it goes. No, that's not the way it goes. I have two daughters, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to be in the workplace. And I want them to feel like, you know, they're comfortable with whatever they decide to do in their life. And I just think that it's, you know, I like when things like this come out, because I think it becomes a national discussion. And when we have discussions, we learn and we find results. You know, it's more to me, it's not about criticizing so much. It's about finding solutions. You know, it's easy to be critical. Okay, we can be critical, but now let's go find some solutions. Let's have the conversation. These hard conversations we need to have as a country. And let's find a solution to get these things solved.
Hey, man, Coach, you got some Christmas shopping to get done this last week?
Oh man, yeah. I'm calling like 20 recruits today. It's all good, man. I'm having a blast.
Good. Well, Coach, hey, good luck with the recruiting, and we will talk to you. Basically, I want to know what we're going to do next week, because I guess Christmas Day will be Monday.
Just to let me know. You know, you guys will text me. Let me know if you need me. I'm available. You know that. No problem.
Well, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you, and we'll talk to you again real soon, Coach.
Okay, partner. You guys have a wonderful Christmas, and all those great Chief fans. Hey, you got a great Christmas present yesterday. You know, you're back in the playoff hunt, and good for those guys.
There we go. Still some business to take care of for the Kansas City Chiefs, though. That is the coach, Herm Edwards. Back after this with the weather forecast with Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.